Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. I got a big stack of comic books. I'm just ready to dive in.
Dive into comic books?
Oh, yeah.
I have some experience with that.
Did you Scrooge McDuckett? Just jump right in.
I do own a... I did get a really nice hardcover collection of Scrooge McDuck for Christmas. So,
ooh.
Yes. Yes, I did, actually. Anyway, folks, before we get into this week's episode, we would like to remind you, please, if you like the show, rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Really helps us out. Really helps out the podcast, really gets us new listeners. Seems like a very simple thing, but it does a lot of good for us, and we really appreciate it when you do that. This week's episode is Three Men in a Comic Book, episode 7F21, originally aired May 9th, 1991. Technically the season finale, but not the last episode of the season.
No, of course not.
Strangely enough, yes, they had a weird summer, mid-summer premiere of Melrose Place, I believe, and they wanted The Simpsons as a lead-in to that, and so they saved our next episode, Blood Feud, for that, and it's technically part of season two, even though it is not the season finale of season two, even though it's the last episode of season two. I don't understand it. It's weird, but it's still season two, and that'll be our next episode. But this is technically the season finale because it closed out the regular Simpsons season, if that makes any sense.
Hey, we can't blame Fox for knowing who their winners were.
Melrose Place was pretty successful, I should say.
True,
at the time.
They knew who to lead in with when they were introducing something new.
I guess that's fair. It's written by Jeff Martin, directed by Wes Archer. Its original broadcast finished 23rd in the ratings with a Nielsen rating of 12.9, equivalent to 12 million viewing households. Episode was the highest rated show on Fox that week. First time The Simpsons beat The Cosby Show in the ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah, take that. Chalkboard gag. I will not show off in a fancy script.
Well, when you study calligraphy, you have to find ways to work it into conversations.
Yeah, Bart the calligraphist. Couch gag. A couch tips over backwards and Maggie peeks over the edge. I think they recycle this one, but it's still cute.
Aww.
Guest stars. We have Cloris Leachman as Mrs. Glick. She's in her 80s now. At the time, she was either 60s or in her 60s or 70s. But she's a longtime actress, comedian. Been in many, many, many things, most famous in the 70s, but recently was on Dancing with the Stars, the oldest contestant on that. I knew her mostly from Beer Fest, where she plays Gam Gam. She's also in Malcolm in the Middle, which is another relevant.
Does she drink professionally in Beer Fest? Because that would be awesome.
No.
Oh, well, shucks.
I think she's professional in making sexual innuendos as an old lady.
Well, that is a very important role to have in Hollywood.
That's in Beer Fest. That's exactly what her role is. We also see Daniel Stern as doing a Wonder Years reference. His brother, David Stern, has written for the show, and he kind of fine-tuned that and arranged for Daniel to be on the show, of course. This episode has lots of first appearances of characters, which is appropriate considering it is a comic book episode. First appearance of Comic Book Guy, Radioactive Man, Fallout Boy, and Bartman.
Not to forget Buddy Hodges. He's really important.
I don't think he makes another appearance, man.
Aw, nerds.
Nerds. Comic-Con. They're going to Comic-Con. They are in the car on the way. Lisa and Bart are debating about what comics they read. Bart, of course, is Radioactive Man all the way. Lisa prefers Casper the Wimpy Ghost, as Bart calls him, and Richie Rich. And then Bart's like, Casper is the ghost of Richie Rich, it appears.
Totally.
Which is true. Casper and Richie Rich comics aren't bad. I'll defend them.
They're surprisingly not. They're obviously more, you know, family-friendly, but you know, they're well-written in general.
Yeah, they're good. They're fun. They get stopped. They get dumped off by Marge. Marge just leaves them. Marge, that's not good. You should not leave 10 and 8 year olds to just run amok at Comic-Con.
I know, they'll ruin it for everyone else.
What they will do is camp out at a booth and bug people for 3 hours.
Will they play their Mario games?
They will play their Mario games for 3 hours and be awkward. Personal experience. We find out that the con has a cosplay discount, which they don't call it. They call it a costume something or other discount, but it's a cosplay discount, which no con would ever do now. There's no way.
They might give you a dollar off or something.
Yeah, but Bart and Lisa, of course, absent of costume. Bart decides, well, there's a costume, and he switches into Bartman. First appearance of Bartman, tries to sneak his way in using that with a discount. The guy at the door, never heard of him, full price.
That's so crazy, because nowadays, you could not possibly have heard of all the characters people are. So.
Yeah, oh, I've never heard.
That guy's just a jerk.
I've never heard of that anime from 13 years ago that only 8 people have seen. So you don't count. Diamond Joe Quimby is there. The mayor, obviously, is trying to get himself in with this crowd and does not know the lingo, does not know how to make himself relevant in in the Comic-Con, I should say. The funny book convention, as he calls it.
No one makes fun of Diamond Joe Quimby.
Yeah, he makes a similar comment in the next episode, actually, which I think is really interesting. We see, like, a fake, not a real artist. He's looking over people's portfolios. Otto's Busman comic as a comic I would read.
Yeah.
That looks like a really cool comic. But yes, Otto has a pitch for Busman, a bus driver who, it's like a Mad Max kind of scenario.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. Bart goes to a panel along with all his friends to Buddy Hodges, who played Fall Out Boy, right?
He played Fall Out Boy.
Dirk Richter played Radioactive Man. Dirk Richter is dead, and it's pretty funny because they have a fake old advertisement having them, you know, smoke, and Dirk Richter was, you know, yeah, smoking is great. Your superheroes promote smoking. It's a reference to the Flintstones doing a similar thing in the 60s, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of famous athletes and kind of figures that promoted smoking in the 60s. It's crazy kind of idea nowadays. That'd be like Superman going, hey, go drink some malt liquor.
Well, you never know with DC these days.
I don't think they go that far. It's charming. It's funny. They ask not to have, not for anyone to ask about Dirk Richter's shady death. Let's keep the questions tasteful, which, of course,
Bart
immediately ignores and asks him about Dirk Richter's bullet-riddled body in the bordello.
Yeah.
Which is a reference, what people believe, to George Reeves, who had a strange and sordid life and ended in suicide, which I want you to guys keep in mind, as I have a very interesting thing from the news groups about that.
Ooh.
But I'd also suggest seeing, was it Hollywoodland with Ben Affleck playing George Reeves? Probably Ben Affleck's best performance. He does an excellent job. It's a really interesting mystery, noir. Adrian Brody's in it as well. But we are introduced to the comic book guy for the first time. Bart sees his holy grail, Radioactive Man number one.
Well, first they see number 62, which is an imaginary tale where he marries Larva Girl, which is a great villain.
I hate those comics from the 50s and the 60s, which are
so bad.
They're just complete. The covers have nothing to do with what's actually in the book. But he engages comic book guy in trying to get this comic. We have this clip. So here it is.
Hey, Radioactive Man number 72! It's imaginary tale where Radioactive Man marries Larva Girl.
Wow, number 9. That's before Fallout Boy became his ward.
Tell you what, I'll show you something very special if you promise to put your grubby little hand behind your back and keep me there. Behold!
Wow, Radioactive Man number 1.
None other.
I bet it's worth $1,000,000.
It is, my lad. But I let you have it for 100 because you remind me of me.
Oh, all I got is 30.
Then you cannot have it.
But I must. Until this moment, I never knew why God put me on this earth. But now I know. To buy that comic book.
Your emotion is out of place here, son.
Comic book guy is offering Radioactive Man number 1 for $100, which honestly, that's a steal if we're supposed to believe Radioactive Man is the biggest superhero in the Simpsons universe.
He's Superman and Batman, apparently.
And the Hulk.
And the Hulk, that's true.
He's like all those things combined, but I would think that Bart should have probably taken that that stance with Homer. Like, it's worth a lot of money. It's an investment. Like, but
it really is.
I want to talk about Comic Book Guy for a second, Matt.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of people like say, well, he was modeled. Apparently, George Meyer modeled him after a clerk in a Los Angeles comic shop who would, of course, lord over his domain.
Well, of course, it's the only power he has in his tiny little life.
Yeah, and Matt Groening has often people say, come up to him and say, you model him over my comic book guy or this comic book. He's like, it's every comic book guy. And I don't really like comic book guy.
What? Seriously?
I don't. It hits too close to home.
Oh. He's that mean uncle that you don't want to claim.
I don't like. I completely accept the fact that there are many quote unquote comic book guys throughout this whole earth, basically. Everywhere they sell comics. I don't like these people. I hate them, even. They destroy the hobby. Like I said, lord over their domain and act like they are the gatekeepers to comic books. I don't go to shops that have these people, and I encourage anyone out there who does read comic books, do not give these people your business. Go somewhere else.
Because there are a lot of better places out there.
Yes. And that is my two cents. But I can appreciate when they make fun of him, but I can't ever view him as like the episodes where he's a good guy, like he's a protagonist kind of guy. Like they treat him as the main character of that episode. I'm not on board with that. Regardless, they leave the con. Homer is now with Marge, has picked them up. Lisa's happy she's picked up 35 Caspers and a dozen Lois Lanes.
Now, let's remember, the actual title of that comic is Superman's Girlfriend, Lois Lane.
That's actually a pretty good comic. I will definitely say that those Lois Lane comics were actually pretty good. Even though some of them did have that weird cover thing that it was referenced with the fake story. But either way, it's still a good comic.
Even though Superman's a dick in a lot of them.
Well, I think that's part of it.
True.
Homer goes off on how he prefers Wonder Woman and how she could tie him up with his golden lariat anytime. Marge is not too happy about that. Bart is asking for $100 so he can buy Radioactive Man number one.
Which he already has 30, so he just wants $100 from Homer so he doesn't have to spend his money.
I know, I can just ask for 70. I think he may be closer to getting Homer to go along with that, as well as sell the investment. It's probably worth, it'll be worth more money. They accrue in value. At least comics from that era do. They stop at Krusty Burger. This is the first full-fledged appearance of Krusty Burger. We saw it earlier in the series, but this time they've actually gone inside and spent any amount of time there. Bart tries to do the, please dad, please dad, please dad thing. And Homer turns him around and does the same thing back to him, which I really enjoy.
Turnabout is fair play.
Yeah, exactly. Marge tells him not to gloat. He calls Michelangelo Michael Melangelo and uses reference of T.S., which, as a child, I'm sure went well over my head.
Yeah.
But nowadays, I understand. Marge tells Bart the story of her trying to get the Easy Bake Oven, basically.
A light bulb-based, what does she call it? Crap.
It's an Easy Bake Oven, Matt. They just don't use
that
name.
They don't say Easy Bake Oven.
I know, but they're just getting around it. It's easier to remember. It's a light bulb space oven thing, whatever.
Cake maker. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But she's like, oh, I did chores. I worked for Patty and Selma. We hear them with their original voices before they started smoking.
Which is kind of weird, because if they had sweet voices, why doesn't Marge? Did Marge smoke for a period?
Now you just gave the writers another idea.
Ooh, okay.
Or, no, they decide to take up smoking. Marge eventually earns the money to get her Easy Bake Oven and make them cookies? I do like little Marge's hair. It's very cute. It goes sideways, kind of.
That's true. Apparently, it morphs from up to down in high school and then back to up. So you can see the hair trends of the 60s, 70s, and today.
Yeah. Then Bart decides, oh, I'll get a part-time job. And at this point, we have the Wonder Years kind of reference parody where Daniel Stern comes in and reads a little bit of narration while Bart stares at the camera, and a turn 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 sound alike song. I don't think it's actually turn 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 plays in the background, and Homer keeps interrupting it, which I think is really funny.
It's like, stop staring like that.
Yeah. But with that, we go to a commercial.
And when we come back, we see Bart scrounging for any little bit of money he can find. He looks underneath the couch cushions and eats something he finds.
Gum, which is, I believe.
Anyway, he takes the giant soda, two or three or however many liter it is, out of the fridge and just pours it down the drain because, yeah, it's practically empty. Then turns it into a poo for the dime, which, wow.
There are places still in America where you can just do that.
Michigan, I believe, still does that, Michigan, which is just weird. But he takes all of his foreign coins and changes them in for 3 whole cents.
Yep.
And in a final bit of desperation, he starts a lemonade stand. And Lisa comes along and sees him, and he's unhappy. And she tells him, you should play on their sympathies a little more. And she turns a couple letters backward, turns his hat around backwards. And then Nelson, of course, comes by and does his trademark laugh, which this is the second time, I believe, we hear that laugh.
Yeah, this is the laugh we know. The War of the Simpsons, it was a little different. This is the Nelson laugh.
And so Bart decides after this that he's got to get something, sell something. People want a little more. So he goes and grabs Homer's beer and starts selling it for a nickel a glass, which is a damn good deal.
Even if it's, I mean, Duff, I imagine, is like Bud. For 5 cents, I'd take 5 cents a cup of beer. That's a pretty good right. deal.
But Eddie and Lou stop by and say, hey, you got to have a license. And Bart, of course, being the savvy entrepreneur, offers them one on the house. And they agree to let him off because it's a first offense.
Of course.
Yeah, you gotta give people a warning, you know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Homer comes home and sees that Bart has sold all his beer for a pittance, and that's the end of Bart's lemonade/beer stand. And then we actually cut to Marge in the beauty salon getting her hair done next to a really, really old woman, who we find out is Mrs. Glick. And apparently she is got some chores that need to be done. And Marge is telling her all about how Bart needs the money for a comic book. And from the examples that Mrs. Glick references, you can tell she hasn't kept up with the times very well. What books?
The comic examples? I couldn't tell you. They were, I could not recognize them.
Something Smasher. I don't know. They're obviously fake, or if they're real, there's something nobody has heard of in a very long time.
She references the World War I in the next scene, Matt, so it could have been stuff from long before our time.
That's probably true. And actually, in the next scene, you see Bart going over to her house, and she basically shows him around for a little bit. She offers him some ribbon candy.
Oh, God.
Which... apparently she just keeps it out and it's one giant piece because she doesn't need candy anymore.
It's so gross.
And she has a picture of her brother on the wall because she's a spinster. No pictures of her husband, oddly enough, unless she mentions her mourning dress. Do you think it's more her mourning dress for... No, she said she got married. She had a wedding dress and turned it into a mourning dress. Asa was killed in the Great War. The Great War being World War I. So that's how you know how old Mrs. Glick was. Yeah. How the hell she's even still alive, we have no clue at this point.
There's still people alive today that were born in the 1800s.
Barely
alive. Yeah. But they're there. They're around.
That's true. Fair enough. But Asa held a grenade too long and got blown up.
There's yellow goo. That flies around, right? If it wasn't yellow, I think it wouldn't have made it to the screen. But
it's obviously chlorine gas.
Yeah, that's it, of course.
But anyway, she sends Bart outside to do some yard work and cut down some weeds or pull weeds and trim the hedges, which it's obvious from the pictures her yard has not been maintained in a very long time. And she gives Bart a pair of trimmers that are completely rusted shut. So he just jumps right in and starts pulling weeds with his fingers. And of course, immediately cuts himself because, you know, that's what kids do. And, of course, the entire time he's grumbling while he does this, and Mrs. Glick is watching her stories, which, you know.
I think it's the same soap opera that Lisa and Marge were watching.
I'm almost certain it is, because it seems exactly like that.
Yeah. That was Bart's dog gets an F. Yes.
Yes.
And she calls these stories filthy but genuinely arousing, which, if that doesn't put a shudder in your spine, you're a stronger person than me. And then when Bart comes in, say he's done for the day, he's, of course, bleeding all over the place because her yard is a hellhole. And she's like, oh, goodness, let me get the iodine, which, oh, God.
Don't put iodine on wounds, people.
It doesn't help at all.
It's a
disinfectant, I guess.
It kills flesh. Yes, it doesn't do anything except kill the germs. It does not do anything to the wound itself. It's bad. It can put bad stuff in you. I researched this just because I was curious. It's bad. It's good on unbroken skin. If you're preparing for surgery, use iodine.
Yep, that's perfect. Otherwise, yeah. Do not use alcohol.
Yes.
We actually see Bart continuing his chores with Mrs. Glick for a long time. He doesn't get paid the first day. And he actually goes home and says, did you make any money? No, but I'm in a lot of pain.
Well, he's understand what a job is now.
Exactly. But we see Bart cleaning out the gutters and doing other various yard work chores. And at the end, he's finally ready for payday. He's going to get what's coming to him. And, of course, we forgot the best part. He does a bit from the Gone with the Wind, yes. Where he's
not the iodine.
Not the iodine. He says, cut it off with a hacksaw, burn it off with a blowtorch, but not the iodine.
Iodine.
Ugh, terrifying.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen Gone with the Wind, you know the scene we're talking about when the soldier's about to get his leg amputated. So, fun. but Bart's payday ends up being the huge amount of 2 quarters.
Whew. 50 cents. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then he gets indignant, which I don't blame him.
No, that's a ludicrous amount, even back in the late 80s, early 90s, for that much yard work. And, of course, Bart shows an amazing amount of restraint for Bart and says, I'm not going to yell, I'm not going to scream, but I'm not saying thank you. And Mrs. Glick says, okay, you're welcome, completely oblivious to any words that Bart actually says.
Mm-hmm.
So Bart comes home, he's mad, he sees Homer on the couch, and he says, working's for chumps. Of course, Homer, being Homer, says, I'm proud of you. I was nearly twice your age before I learned that lesson.
Yeah.
Because, working will get you nowhere, kids. At least not if you're Bart or Homer. So then we cut back to the comic book shop where Bart walks in to see Martin talking to comic book guy about the Radioactive Man comic. And Martin wants it for $40. And the comic book guy says, no, absolutely not. And Bart, he's like, what do you want to Bart? And Bart says, oh, can I get it for $35?
Yeah.
And he's like, freaking kids. And luckily right then, Milhouse walks in. So they immediately hatch a plan to put their money together. And we've actually got this clip and we're going to play it for you now.
Wait a minute, Martin. If you, Milhouse, and I went in together, we could buy a copy of Radioactive Man #1 right now.
Wow!
Here you go, mutton chop yads.
I don't want it.
Freaking kids.
Look, pal, we got $100 and we'd like to buy Radioactive Man #1. So why don't you just waddle over there and get it?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Breathe it in, boys.
Oh, this is the stuff dreams are made of. It smells like my grandpa.
Uh-oh, looks like rain. We better get this baby home. Uh-oh.
Looks like you bought more than you bargained for.
And they all try and take this to the comic home. They pull in 3 different directions because their houses are 3 different directions home. And the comic book guy, in the most evil thing ever, says, oh, I'll get you a bit off more than you bargained for. And then does an incredibly evil laugh.
I really enjoy it. I really like that. It's very Twilight Zone-y.
And it shows comic book guy to be the villain he is.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
You're right. It is very, very Twilight Zone-y. That's true. Yeah. And that's where we end the act.
When we come back, they are all the 3 kids, Milhouse, Martin, and Bart, are reading the comic. And we are basically reading it with them, seeing the origin of Radioactive Man, which is similar to the Hulk. He gets caught in a field with a bomb exploding. They openly question about if you'd survive an atomic blast, but Bart's like, well, there you go. Apparently it gives you powers. But at this point, the episode segues into a complete, homage to the Treasure of Sierra Madre. And it begins with them arguing where to keep the comic. And we actually have this clip pulled. I really enjoy it. And here it is.
Careful, careful. Ah, listen, you guys are welcome to come over and read it anytime you like.
Why can't we keep it in my house?
Your house? That's crazy talk.
Well, the comic's ours as much as it is yours.
How about this, guys? Bart can have it Mondays and Thursdays, Milhouse will get it Tuesdays and Fridays, and yours truly will take it Wednesdays and Saturdays.
Perfect.
Wait a minute. What about Sunday?
Yeah, what about Sunday?
Well, Sunday possession will be determined by a random number generator. I will take the digits 1 through 3, Milhouse will have 4 through 6, and Bart will have 7 through 9.
Perfect.
Wait a minute. What about zero?
Yeah, what about zero?
Yeah.
Well, in the unlikely event of a zero, possession will be determined by rock, scissor, paper competition. Best 3 out of 5, how's that?
This is pretty good. Okay, yeah, all right, yeah.
Cool. Excellent. Well, today being Saturday, gentlemen, I guess I'll be taking my comic and...
Nice try, Martin. It almost worked, but tonight this comic book stays right here.
If the comic book stays right here, then so do I.
Me too.
Fine. We're all gonna stay here with the comic book. It'll be like a sleepover. Yeah, a sleepover. That's what pals do, right? Real friendly-like.
Like, I love any kind of fiction that plays, like, on distrust and paranoia in a small group. And this is really fun. This whole last act is...
Yeah, they do not trust each other at all for some reason.
Yeah, and Bart is the worst culprit. He's like, no, we're all going to stay. They all decide to stay because Martin's like, oh, he proposes. I'll take it because it's my day. He's like, no, I think we'll keep it here for tonight. Martin's like, well, then they all decide, well, we'll all stay. Sleepover, real friendly like. I love that there's a brick on the comic. Like, they're just like, all right, brick.
Well, they don't want to fly away. I mean, that does happen later in the episode.
I mean, Bart is clearly the Humphrey Bogart character from Treasure Sierra Madre. He even says, no one makes a sap out of Bartholomew J. Simpson. they toss around, like, Martin's like, yeah, the last one alive will get it. What do you mean, last one alive? You know, they're all paranoid. Marge brings milk and microwave s'mores out to the yeah, it made me kind of hungry just watching it. But they eat them, like, eyeing each other. Martin tries to get up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, and Bart decides they're going to tie him up because you can't go to the bathroom. That's wrong. Even then Bart's like, yeah, I have to go too. You don't see me going. Milhouse accuses Bart of going crazy. They wrestle. Marge asks Homer it starts to rain and thunder outside. Of course, it's appropriate for the situation. It adds to the drama. Homer's watching TV inside, where is he watching TV?
They rarely seen rumpus room.
I guess so. And he looks out, and Marge asks him to check on the boys. He looks outside with lightning flashes and sees them for like a split second. You're not getting anything from it.
Like, oh, there are bodies out there, I think. Yeah, they're fine.
They're fine. Finally, it comes to the point where Milhouse tumbles out and Bart grabs not even his hand, but his sleeve.
He's just got a really, really, he's really bad at catching things, apparently.
And at the same point, they previously grabbed the brick. I think Bart had grabbed the brick to try and hit Milhouse with it.
Well, of course. I mean, that's a perfect weapon to brain your best friend.
I know, murder someone with. The comic now is fluttering around in the air, flying around. It gets pushed up against kind of the edge of the treehouse, very close to flying out. Bart has to kind of decide at that point, do I save Milhouse? Or do I grab the comic? And frankly, it's maybe 8 feet down to the ground.
Definitely should have gone with the comic.
Just drop Milhouse. It's fine. He'll survive. He probably would, at worst, be bruised or something.
Or he might break a leg. Oh, no.
I don't think he'd break a leg. It's not even that far. That's a child. They're flexible.
They're very resilient.
They bounce. He decides to grab Milhouse. He saves him. He's about to grab the comic. It falls to the ground. Sans Little Helper bites at it, and then a lightning bolt hits it to clinch the deal. It's destroyed.
Yep, the universe didn't want them to have it.
No. Marge comes out in a raincoat and's like, come on, boys, you're gonna get death of cold, I believe, and enjoy imitation marshmallows. Which they already had s'mores. Do those have imitation marshmallows? What is an imitation marshmallow?
It's a vegan marshmallow.
I guess that's true. They were just called imitation at the time. Now they charge twice as much and call them vegan.
Yeah.
But we cut to the morning. Homer, you know, is walking outside, and the boys are analyzing the remains of the comic, which are suddenly in the front yard. They, you know, another comic book has returned to the Earth, and we see the last page in a bird's nest, and we hear the voiceover of the... I don't know who did the voice of Radioactive Man in those few scenes. They did a really good job. But we hear that kind of voiceover read the panel that's in the bird's nest. And that's how the that's how the comic ends. That's how the comic ends and how the episode ends.
Another comic book has returned to the Earth from whence it came.
Yep. I like this one. That second act is Mrs. Glick. Hold that is a little, I don't know.
It's a little terrifying.
Overkill. You didn't need all that. I think that third act is phenomenal. And I do enjoy all the stuff at Comic-Con and all the comics, but the second act kind of brings it down for me.
Yeah. It kind of fits with the rest of the episode, but doesn't really, cause it's almost like horror movie-esque. It's just not as much fun. The first and third acts are fun. I mean, the third act is a little kind of crazy, but it's still kind of fun. With the second act, nothing about it is really interesting.
No, you spend like 5 minutes with Mrs. Glick, who's thoroughly not fun. And other than you see Bart, you know, kind of, I mean, I guess I could explain his psychosis later on, the fact that he worked so hard, but still, I think he could have gone to the same place without that. But either way, I think it's still really good. I think that the second act kind of just brings it down from like a great episode, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, if it was just acts 1 and 3, and maybe the middle was Bart, you know, a montage of odd jobs around town that still didn't earn him the money, it would probably elevate it a little bit. I mean, yeah, this just
comes
a bit of a downer.
Yeah, we will rank it at the end of the show. Want to remind you guys, we are starting a new segment called My Favorite Episode. As we get to new episodes, I'd like you guys to send in why that particular episode is your favorite, if it is your favorite. Email us, simpsonshowpod@gmail.com, with the title My Favorite Episode. We've already gotten a couple submissions. I would love to see more from you guys. We are finishing up season 2, about to hit season 3. Tough competition. I really enjoy seeing why a certain episode is someone's favorite. So please send them in. SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Next up, comments from the news group. A few things. Someone had floated the idea that they had heard, let's see, on the radio, that Matt Groening had plans for a Simpson movie. No details as yet, but ideas are being formulated.
It only took, what, 15, 16 years for that to become a reality?
Yeah, it only took that. I would think they should have probably struck a little when the iron was more hot.
Yeah.
But either way, I think it's really funny that they're already like, oh yeah, the movie's coming along, right? It'll be coming out soon. Don't think so, but I think it's funny. Secondly, I had mentioned in the recap that, remember about George Reeves and the Dirk Richter kind of analogy there. George Reeves apparently died by shooting himself. He was a suicide. He had a very sordid life along the way. And there was mystery about if it was an actual suicide. But people are talking about it. They're like, is that what that is a reference to? And there's people talking about if George Reeves, you know, if that's a reference to him, about his life. And they're like, you know, suicide by gun isn't that gruesome. You know, it's bad, obviously, but it's not like, you know, a bullet-riddled body or whatever. But then someone chimes in. I'm going to read it. Well, it's correct that George Reeves did die suicidally with a gun, and to you, perhaps that's not too gruesome. But once again, since I am his nephew, it is particularly gruesome. Just something to brighten everyone's day.
Yeah, brighten. That's it.
His nephew, George Reeves' nephew, was hanging out on the Simpsons News Group, apparently. I think it's really interesting that he chimes in there. Next up, listener question of the week. What is the most heartbreaking moment from The Simpsons and why? Oh my god, you guys, great answers. I really wish I wish I could read them all. You guys are always do a great job. Keep it up. I love it. First up, we have Victor at Parenza Books. Mr. Bergstrom leaving, everything else is fighting for second. #YouSir are a baboon.
Eh,
Amanda at Drawn to Insanity. Mona Lisa. I can't watch this one because after losing my mom, it touches home way too hard. Solo Han at C.E. Hayes. Do It for Her, which is and Maggie Meeks 3. And the end of Mother Simpson with Homer sitting on the car looking at stars. Can't pick just one, just beautiful moments. We have Eric Daniels at the Real Eric D. The most heartbreaking moment in the episode is Mother Simpson, the scene in which Homer says goodbye to Mona. And again, he's just sitting on his car staring at the sky. It's really sad. I really feel for Homer here as we don't often see him displaying emotions like that. It also always brings a tear to my eye. We have Sean, Shawnee Mac 15. Only time I've ever cried in an episode was that moment in Dog of Death where Santa's Little Helper decides mid-jump to disobey Burns and smother Bart's faces, smother Bart's face with doggy kisses instead of tearing it to shreds with his canine teeth. I know. We have Chris, season 6, episode Round Springfield when Bleeding Gums Murphy passes away. Lisa running to see him in the hospital, all excited after a solo recital, only found he has passed away. No one is at the funeral but Lisa. She yells at Reverend Lovejoy after he can't get anything about him correct in the eulogy. You didn't know him. Nobody knew him. He was a great man. I won't rest until all Springfield knows the name Bleeding Gums Murphy. Appears in the clouds at the end to give poor Lisa some closure. Lisa's, quote, Bleeding Gums was my hero, and I never got to tell him how I felt. Mm-hmm. And finally, our last two answers, the same episode. Brian, Marge be not proud. Marge is so disappointed in Bart that she became absolutely numb. It's heartbreaking that she internalized Bart's behavior, effectively blaming herself. Also equally heartbreaking was Bart's realization that he really screwed up that time and Bart would not come around so easily. Abby with the same answer. When Bart feels so isolated from his family, he asks Luann Van Houten, can I hang out with you while you do mom stuff? Oh, there's so many heartbreaking moments in that episode, which is my favorite. You'll be getting an email from me at some point about it. It's the saddest and sweetest to me. Matt, what's your answer?
I'd really love to say I went out and found some little moment that everyone forgot about, but I couldn't get past Mother Simpson at the end, when, especially since they linger on Homer just staring up at the stars for so long. It just... The idea that he got his mother back and then had to let her go again. And the fact that Homer is sitting there at the end, so introspective, just not doing anything when normally Homer has to, you know, be watching TV or sleeping or something. It's insane.
Yeah, it's really sad. It was a very popular answer, probably the most popular answer. Mine also not super unique, but, and Maggie Makes 3, Do It for Her. Hits me right in the heart every time. Just the fact that, like, you don't really, again, Homer's job, gets made fun of, that, you know, his job switches every week. When it gets serious about how much he hates it and, you know, what he goes through to get it back after that, in that episode, and how he feels about Maggie and how, everything comes together. It's so touching. But again, oh my God, I'm overcome. Next week's question, best moment from season 2 and why? We are rounding up season 2. Our next show will have the final episode, technically, of season 2. But we'll start season 3 with our next Sunday night, next Monday episode. So we'll ask it now. What is the best moment in season 2 and why? You can find the question and post it on all our social media on our Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. You can find us on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. And as previously mentioned, you can email us SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, feel free to reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you guys. You have any Simpsons essays you'd like to send us? We haven't gotten one of those in a while.
Interpretive dances are also good. Just give us the YouTube link. It has to have a direct Simpsons tie-in. So.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. If you're awkwardly dancing, interpretive dance to the monorail song, I'll accept that. Finally, it is time for the last segment, a segment we end every show with, and it is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever, and how good they are. Where is this one, Matt? What do you think?
This one's tough because it's good. It's got a lot of funny moments, especially in the first and third acts, like you said. I don't know. I'm looking around, maybe 15, 16.
Ooh, that's low.
Yeah, it's just, like you said, that middle act really slows it down and just kind of puts a damper on everything.
I was looking more in the 10, 11, 9 area somewhere.
Really? There. You put it above Dead Putting Society and Bart the Daredevil?
The comic book stuff does get really... the comic book stuff does bump it up for me. Plus, that third act is... I love fiction. That's all paranoid stuff. That's why I wish more of it was that. I like the whole episode being that would have been, I think, perfect, but... you know, that second act, they really lag. I don't know. Better than Dead Putting Society? I think it is better than Dead Putting Society.
Really? Oh, but Dead Putting Society is so much fun and so hilarious, and it's got, you know, great family moments.
Yeah, that's true, but I don't know. I like Radioactive Man. I like all that. I like the Treasure Sierra Madre stuff. It's really fun. So, 16, 17? That's what you're saying?
I could go as high as, like, 13. I could see it being better than Two Cars in Every Garage and Three Eyes in Every Fish.
Not better than Bart the Daredevil, though?
It's about right there. It'd be tough.
So you're firm in saying Dead Putting Society is better?
Yes. As a firm mini-golf enthusiast, I would say Dead Putting Society is better.
Like you're not a comic book enthusiast?
I am, but I...
I don't know. I think I'd rather watch it than... I don't know, watching it, that's not a very good judge.
Would you rather watch this episode again, or would you rather watch Dead Putting Society again?
Probably this one.
Really?
I think so.
Okay, fair enough.
I think, well, I can, we have to come to something. I definitely think it's better in Two Cars in Every Garage and Three Eyes in Every Fish.
Okay, I can see that. Yeah, like you said, the third act is really what brings it up, and the first act is just funny. And I love the old school comic book jokes. The, you know, the Casper the Friendly Ghost, the Richie Rich, the Lois Lane. Exactly.
That's really good. It's fun.
True. That's true. I guess since the second act was my act, I focused a bit too much on it. It's just depressing, man. God.
Mrs. Glick does not add anything to the show. Just having someone you just don't like and Bart doesn't like for no particular reason other than, hey, look, Bart did a lot of work for nothing. Like, it doesn't really add, like, to the plot. It makes no sense. Like, doesn't really need the money. He gets $5 and all that time. A montage would achieve the same thing.
Yeah.
I can acquiesce. We can say number 12. We can put it right behind Dead Putting Society.
Okay. I can accept that. Because, yeah, I think taken as a whole, it is better than Bart the Daredevil.
I'm just making a comparison, like... Bart gets hit by a car. The last act isn't very good. We still have it pretty high.
That's true. But
that's Phil Hartman. That's what Phil Hartman did for you. I can agree. I can do it. Number 12. If we could have a tie at number 12, I might actually cotton to that. But I think I'd rather. I enjoy this one more than Bart the Daredevil.
I would agree.
Okay. So after some discussion there. Some little, it's like Hardball or one of them talking head shows on CNN. New number 12, we have 3 Men in a Comic Book. A little lower than I expected going in, but not a bad showing. Top third. You can find this list at our website, thesimplythesimpsonsshow.com. You can find pretty much links to everything there. You'll find every new episode, downloadable streaming, links to our Facebook, our Twitter. You can contact us through the website, comment on episodes, find our RSS feed, donate to the show. Really appreciate that, obviously. And pretty much anything else is there, SimpsonsShow.com. What's next? What do we have? I think, what is it? Blood Feud, right, Matt? That's right.
That's right.
Blood Feud, last episode of season 2.
But not the season finale.
Not the season finale. So strange how television works sometimes. Yes, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. It's MixmasterCereal. See all the things I get up to online there. Check out my comic book podcast, Hands of Boys Comics Hour, handsofboyscomicshour.com. Matt does not participate in social media. Won't find him.
That's true. However, I do read a lot of comic books, so if you're able to sneak your message into the letters page of your favorite comic books, Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, any of the X-Men series, I probably will see it.
Yes, all you Marvel writers out there,
There might be one, maybe.
Hey, if there is a someone who writes comic books professionally listening to this podcast, let us know. I want to talk to you. Matt does too, I'm sure.
Yes.
So, with that, we will call it a day. I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.